All right, welcome to Chasing Shadows on KXRW. My name is Josh Croker, and I am joined by my co-hosts today, Eric McLean, Robert Bain, and my wife, Brianna Croker. How are you guys doing today?
Fabulous, thank you.
Doing great.
Good.
Doing good on this end.
Eric is joining us remotely today. We are doing some COVID-19 safe recording today, and we are coming back to KXRW to give you guys a couple more episodes, because this is part one of our kind of two-part farewell episodes to KXRW. We are going to be leaving the non-profit radio world and heading off to the world of podcasting and jumping with both feet in on that side. So we wanted to come back and thank everybody on the KXRW side and thank everybody in the Vancouver and Portland communities for that with a couple episodes. So we are here today to just kind of recap, go over some of the fun stuff that we've done and seen and talked about. So welcome to our show today. If this is the first time you're tuning in, we are a paranormal radio show and podcast where we talk about anything paranormal, supernatural, or otherwise mysterious. And our goal is to look at the evidence that exists out there and determine whether or not there's enough to believe in something. And, you know, we've kind of talked a lot about belief and how powerful it is to believe something, and that's how this all got started. Is, you know, Eric and I have been chasing the paranormal since we were teenagers, literally. So
yes, we have.
You know, it's kind of time to figure out what is worth believing in ultimately. So with that and getting started, we've talked about quite a few different things so far. A lot of paranormal, a lot of scientific, some like monster cryptozoology type stuff. Out of all those topics, what do you guys believe in the most? What do you think is the most likely to be true out of the topics that we did?
Okay, yeah, I would just real quick, I'll just say that we talked to human superpowers. I mean, a lot of that stuff surprised me, like the breathing techniques, and being able to survive the very cold temperatures wearing nothing but your little underwear. I think so
the
far,
Ice
human,
Man.
A lot of the human superpower stuff I thought was compelling.
And on my end, I thought our dreams episode, it was really surprising that all of us had something really similar to each other. So
yeah, you know what, ironically enough, I kind of forget about the dreams episode, but that was such a fun episode. And lately, like the last couple of weeks, I've just been having crazy dreams every night.
You know, same here. I have as well, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
That was the one where, that was when Joran was on.
Yes.
But the dreams is interesting, you know, because everybody dreams. Like, animals dream. We can see animals dream. And it's something we can say we all experience, but it's just that's more of, like, figuring out why they exist. You can't say dreams don't exist, so that's definitely a super interesting topic.
I'd say now looking back, like I'm looking at some of them, like gene editing was a good one, I thought.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
I definitely believe in chupacabra. No, just kidding. No, I would say probably the mind control episode, which is kind of a hard one to say, oh, I believe, because we talked about so many different things. But the mind control episode, I mean, there's pretty much a whole branch of psychology that goes off into that. And it really just is, I guess, determined by how you define mind control and whether or not you believe what it is. But my definition of it, you know, was being basically the fracturing of the mind through either chemical influence or through trauma. And that's one of the things that I think that, because mental illness is so stigmatized, that there's probably so much more of that going on in the world than we know. People see in shows and movies and are like, oh, that's such a crazy thing, you know, and then there's like Split, which like he like legit was a super villain or like a crazy, you know, physical being that was dominating everything when he was in a particular alter state. And I don't necessarily believe that can happen, but it is really fascinating. There are cases of people who, you know, one of their alters is diabetic and the rest of them aren't. And, like, the doctors legitimately see different responses to how the body processes sugar and insulin when they're in that state versus not. And that's just really crazy to me. And it's still scientific based enough, but also has enough, like, wonderment there to just kind of be like, whoa, that's still so far beyond our comprehension.
We have, you know, like, media like Split, because we talk a lot about, you know, movies and stuff that kind of can influence what we have. And so you have something like dissociative identity disorder. And you also have an episode that we did about human superpowers saying, yeah, you know, those could exist. And hey, you know, somebody's brain and body could do different things when they're in this other state. So what if the two of those were combined, you know, and it's not that far to jump to see those things. And I think the chemtrails episode was a big one where, you know, I don't believe that chemtrails exist in the conspiracy sense of the word, that they're, you know, that they're going over us and spraying toxins or poisons or chemicals to make us do something. But there are planes that go up to put chemicals in clouds to kind of help the weather, you know, more or less rain, to do cloud seeding. Or there are crop dusters that drop poison onto plants and farms, you know, to kill bugs. So yes, those things exist in a technical sense, or those things can be believed because they're so close to things that can't exist. But that's where it's been hard to draw the line for some of these subjects, is where is it real and where is it, you know, just fake?
I think that's largely based on intent. Those technologies do exist. They do have planes that drop things like that, like you said, but it's like, but why are they doing it? Mm-hmm. And for somebody who already has a distrust for the government, it's probably really easy to make that connection and make that leap.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that same side, even with things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, you know, plesiosaurs are dinosaurs that used to exist. So it's hard to, you know, look at those things and say that's completely fantastical. That could never happen, because it did happen. In Bigfoot, there's the Gigantopithecus in the past. And so there were large, you know, giant bipedal apes, you know, but they were in Asia in the past. And there's no evidence that they exist now. And the same with Loch Ness Monster. But there is plenty of evidence of people who like to hoax those things. And yes. So it becomes more likely that something from the past that did exist still does in an environment that probably would not, you know, it probably wouldn't be able to live in, or that people are trying to use the fact that it is something slightly believable to sell a story. You know, with the Loch Ness, we saw that the newspapers were the main driver of the story in the early 1900s and getting it out. So, yep. I think that that's been the most interesting thing, is seeing, you know, what toes the line of believability and how they do that. And I like the Planet X one. I think that to me, that maybe it's not the most likely to be true, but is definitely one that seemed like all there is to actually see the planet, because all the math supports that it's there, but it's literally just too far away to see. And so that's one that I want to keep an eye on in the future and actually see if there's another planet in our solar system, because that would be awesome. You know, there's so much to learn from that. So that would be for me, I think.
Yeah. And no Curse of Oak Island?
Yeah. And say they're going on how many seasons now? And
well, they have a spinoff now, too. They're searching for Aztec gold, I think, or something. Oh, my gosh. But that means they have to be popular.
I think one of the guys that's the main guys in that is actually in Storage Wars, too.
Oh, no, really? Oh, that means
he's the guy show's that plants everything in Storage Wars.
Exactly.
Oh, God. No.
He's the planter.
So, my thought for that is that going to, like, you know, people making that jump of things that believe, like, certainly treasures and stuff are found, you know, like, that's basically what archaeology is. Sometimes it's something that's more valuable in the sense of what we can learn from it. Sometimes it's actually something valuable because of it, you know, being a monetary item. Sometimes it's just about its rarity. And so those things do exist, but this show is just really capitalizing on people's want for it to, you know, be true. And I think that largely has to do with the fact that a lot of Americans feel like it's harder to get ahead now than it ever has. And I mean, really, if you look at the data, like, that could be a whole other episode, but that is the case. And so it's not hard to just hear, like, oh, so you're telling me if I quit my job and I invest all this time into digging in this place where there's a legend, like, I could get rich. And, you know, in some of the episodes, one of the brothers talks about, like, you know, if we don't find anything, we're going to have to quit. And it's like, well, one, no, you're not, because you're making money off the show. But two, with something like that, when you invest so much time and energy into it, like, it would be so hard to stop and pull away. And so I feel like that's largely what a lot of the viewers feel, too. You know, they've invested so much. And if they find those things, that means so much for that specific person's potential opportunities. Like, oh, if they can do that, then, you know, I can just invest and then I can make it out big. And it's just, I mean, it's basically the lottery plus Indiana Jones.
No, it is kind of a lottery ticket type thing, you know? And it's like the Goonies, you know? The treasure hunt is their way to get out of a bad situation. And some people see things like that.
It belongs in a museum.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to rip on it too much, but it reminds me of a lot of the, like, McDonald's scam that they've been bringing to light a lot lately.
McMillions?
Yes, the McMillions.
Yeah. I think in the case of an environment we have where the History Channel has things like Storage Wars, you know, and Pawn Stars, or things that are monetizing history or historical artifacts, then people are starting to view things almost in that perspective, is like, what is the value on this? What is the monetary value?
I would argue, though, that it's just a modernization of Antique Roadshow. Yep. I mean, it's using themes and tactics in other successful realms of TV to still try and do some of the same stuff. I mean, obviously, a lot of it is dramatized and a lot of it is garbage, but, like, people have always wanted to know about the value of these things. It's just gotten a lot less classy and a lot less boring at the same time.
Yeah, and I would, in favor of Antiques Retro, I would say absolutely, I'm very much in favor of those types of shows. But I think their focus is on the history and shows that were like Pawn Stars. I don't think those are on anymore.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, it was reruns for sure, but I'm not sure. Antique Roadshow? No, Antique Roadshow is, but Pawn Stars.
There's probably, like, Pawn Star for every city in the country.
Right. And when that's kind of where I was getting at with it, is that I think Pawn Stars focuses, their focus is on the negotiation rather than the history, and that there's 30 different Pawn Star shows and only one Antiques Roadshow. I would personally love to see an expansion of Antiques Roadshow.
You know, to be fair, like, the original Pawn Stars, they brought in experts, and a lot of the stuff that people brought were fake or were not real. So, I mean, I don't know. When it's something like a difference between, like, Storage Wars and Pawn Stars, like, Storage Wars stuff is planted, but Pawn Stars, you have people bringing stuff to you, and I'm all right with that. And a lot of the time, it is fake, or it is not authentic, so they just say, get out.
Kind of talking about those same shows, not that I'm really using this to make a point or anything, but just I enjoy the show. Did anyone else watch the Curiosities Oddities show that was similar?
I believe that one took place in Portland.
I think it was in New York.
Oh, in New York? I know there was one that I thought took place in Portland, or maybe there's just a store like it in Portland.
There's a store, yeah. There's Paxton Gate in Portland.
Okay.
It was a television show called Oddities. It was a documentary series that had 5 seasons in 2010. It's on Hulu now, it says, so I think I'm going to have to rewatch it. Mm-hmm. But it was basically like...
Oh, gosh.
It was very similar to Pawn Stars.
I think I've seen, like, every episode.
Huh?
I think now that I look at the two people, I think I've seen, like, every episode of this show.
Oh, yeah. It's super weird, but I love it. And it's basically like Pawn Stars, but for, like, dark, macabre things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's super fascinating. And there is a lot of history, too, because a lot of the things are, like, antique things, mind you. Antique things that came from, like, really brutal areas. Or, like, here are some antique autopsy equipment. How beautiful. Let's hang it up in our house.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a lot of people coming in to buy things rather than sell things. They certainly had some things that were coming in and people were trying to sell it to them, or they bought it. But it was also fascinating because you got to see all different types of people that came in and bought stuff from them. And at each piece that they were buying, the curators of the shop would, like, explain and, like, give the history. And it was super fascinating. And, I mean, you know me, I'm a bit dark. And so I was like, this is so much better than, you know, oh, this is Elvis's guitar. And, like, oh, this is some maniac straitjacket that was used in this asylum. And blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so amazing.
So let's try and get an Antiques Roadshow version for that type of stuff, a macabre Antiques Roadshow.
I'm sure there's more legalities, though, because it's, like, the laws of owning human body parts.
Wow,
of mm-hmm. owning, like, that's a legit thing. Like, they have, like, real human skulls in there, and it's like, you can only have a real human skull for so many reasons under the law.
We're gonna step away from the battle of the historical TV shows and take our first break. But when we come back, we are going to hop into what we think some of the least likely to be true topics that we talked about. But for now, you're listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW.
KXRW would like to thank our friends at NuVamsterdam for supporting our radio community. NuVamsterdam is the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. They carry a variety of cannabis products ranging from pre-rolls, vape cartridges, and edibles to CBD topicals, oils, and tinctures. NuVamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. 365 days a year. More information available at NuVamsterdam.com. That's NuVamsterdam.com.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number one.com.
All right, and we're back. You are listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW. You are listening to part one of our Farewell KXRW and X-Ray episodes. We are moving away from the nonprofit radio side onto the internet, and I am joined with McLean and Bain and producer Bree today, and we are recapping some of the things we've talked about over the course of the show and how it's kind of shaped how we believe things for this episode. And so before the break, we were talking about what was most believable, or some of the episodes and topics that were most believable. What are some of the ones that have been least believable for you guys? I feel like this
I don't
one's
know
easier,
why I just
actually.
Came. I just came hot out of the gate, and I have absolutely nothing to say. I think, yeah, like Loch Ness and Goop Lab.
Which is funny because Goop Lab had some things that were
like
believable.
I believe it.
It had some great
things.
And
then some that were not.
Right.
The show was a little less egregious than the website. And for anybody who's listening to this one on the radio, if you don't know, we do some podcast only episodes, some radio episodes. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop Labs show and website was one of our podcast episodes. So. There's a little info on that one.
Yes. I mentioned Chupacabra.
Yeah.
Which...
That's probably mine, too.
Yeah. Never mind.
But it's so fascinating to hear the history behind it.
Oh, sure.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do, you know, with our reboot, too, is not just looking at whether or not we think things are real, because I think all of us can agree that we don't believe in the Chupacabra, but seeing, like, why, and, like, seeing the historical side, you know, kind of building off of what we, you know, just ended the last break... Or ended the last segment before the break with history.
Yeah. Well, just watching some... I'm just going to plow through. And just watching some of the people in, like, the clips when we were watching on that episode that were just, like, stone-cold set on believing it was Chupacabra. Reporters in towns who were saying, here's the Chupacabra... When it was obviously a raccoon? Like, it was so clearly a raccoon. And now how many people believed it because of this news segment?
Yeah.
Like, it was almost kind
of... Sorry. Even in that same episode, I was just going to say the Jersey Devil was much more unbelievable to me.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That was the same as the Chupacabra episode and...
The demon baby.
Oh, gosh.
But at least that one had the folklore side of it that had been established in the area for a while. Like, I was so surprised about Chupacabra being recent. Like,
yeah, 90s. That was very surprising. That, like, I've been around longer than the Chupacabra tale.
Well, and also with the Jersey Devil, that particular area had a lot more... related folklore, like about witches and stuff. So people there were already super prone to believing those kind of things. And they actually believed the mother was a witch. So it's like to go from their belief in witches to their belief in the Jersey Devil was not a large leap. I don't know if I was the only one that saw on Facebook the picture that was going around that was supposedly a Bigfoot hand.
Oh gosh, I didn't see that.
Okay. Uh-uh. So...
Well, Facebook's arbiters of truth, so it must have been true.
No, it certainly wasn't. But, like, my mom sent it to me, and she just sent it to me saying, like, oh, my friend sent this to me without any more context. And it was something that they had seen on Facebook. And I was like, okay, well, what is it? And she's like, I don't know, did you read the caption? I'm like, yeah, but this isn't a Bigfoot hand, so do we know what it is? And then she ended up sending me another link later that was from Walla Walla Bigfoot on Facebook. And it was saying that so many people have been sending him the message and the picture, and it looks to be a beaver hand. And I looked up a beaver hand, and it did look really similar. The pictures, though, definitely make it look bigger, which, I mean... That really can be done depending on the angle that you're taking the photo. I don't think it was a giant beaver. I think it was probably just the angle of the photo. But that, from what I saw, was getting passed around a lot. And people were like, oh my gosh, what is 2020? We've got COVID, and now we've got Bigfoot. Like, what is happening? But, you know, looking at the beaver hand, I'm like, why didn't people... like, assume this first.
Yeah, do a little fact-checking, yeah. And I think that's one thing we've learned from doing the show, especially with, like, the Bigfoot stuff, is kind of start from a place of disbelief. Like, okay, that I think it's more likely that this is something else, but I'm willing to look at your evidence, look at it, and then fact-check it, you know, do some research yourself, and then go from there. And it sounds like, you know, people are just a little too easy to believe what's going on.
And I hope that we don't get our PNW card revoked for saying this.
And also, and not to sound too harsh to people who would, like, believe in Bigfoot, I am somebody who has believed in Bigfoot in the past very, very vehemently. Like, yeah, of course Bigfoot exists. Like, and ridiculed people for not believing in Bigfoot, that level of existing kind of thing. And now it's just kind of like, well, you know, some evidence exists, but it's not conclusive by any means. And so if it's not conclusive, then can't believe it exists. So,
I mean, I think we all know which one I don't believe in. That's going to be Curse of Oak Island.
Sure. Yeah, going back to ragging on them. Here we go.
And like we were kind of talking about in the break, is like, I actually like the History Channel for some shows, but when it's propagated for money, it's it kind of takes the sweetness out of it, you know.
And TV shows in general make their money from getting more views.
Yeah, completely. So.
And when you think about it too, since they are making money off of this, like even if they did find something, why would they show you now when they know that you're willing to hang on for 10 seasons? Like even exactly. If they did find something, like they're probably making at least a relatively equivalent amount of money from the show than whatever they found's value. Like, especially because, like, the show we saw was, like, produced from one of their companies that was the tour program on thing. Like,
that's something we haven't even mentioned in this episode yet, but the guys who make the Curse of Oak Island show also, I believe, own Oak Island or, like, mm-hmm. a portion of Oak Island and have a tour company where you can book tours and go check out Oak Island. So not only is the show making things seem a little more exciting than they probably should be, they're also promoting themselves.
Yeah. They also own the Oak Island Hotel, if I believe.
Yeah. So
it's, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. So it's just massive self-promotion.
Yeah. So it's like,
right.
Why would they show you?
Right. And, I mean, it's in the credits if you watch for it. So I guess to their credit, they are entertaining people. But why is that on the History Channel then? You know, like if you know, Bree and I have been to Winchester Mystery House. You know, that's not a place that like actually fully is like, hey, we're, you know, it's a haunted quote unquote place, but they're not trying to, you know, tell you you're gonna see ghosts and stuff while you're in there. They're kind of like, hey, this is a historical place. Mm-hmm. The difference between that and Oak Island is that they're like really playing up the authenticity and how real it is. And sure, the place has a history of treasure hunting, but it doesn't seem that there's any history of treasure, just evidence of treasure hunters.
Yeah.
So it's that one's a tough one. I mean, because Oak Island is also related to other things, which is a little bit tied to the Templar treasures, and because then it gets tied in with the Knights Templar, who again, there's something that was a very real organization, and so you start tying in things that are real and things that are fictional, and it's, you know, stories get created with pieces of puzzles that aren't necessarily part of the same one. So. I think Chupacabra was one that was really, really easy to say it wasn't real. Oak Island, the coconut fibers, man.
Good old coconut fibers. Coconut fibers.
Coconut. I would love to see something come out of that.
Coconut fibers.
I have a lot of family that watches that show, too, so I might be a little bit more rough on it. But again, I love, Forge and Fire. So shout out to History Channel for that show. I love it. Next.
Cool.
The History Channel.
cool.
But History Channel also makes shows like Ancient Aliens.
Oh.
And I think this episode would be complete without at least mentioning Ancient Aliens. Because I don't think we've done like a specific Ancient Aliens episode.
Advanced technology and UFOs, I think, is the closest, where we kind of infer ancient aliens, but we don't specifically look at it as a topic.
Right, and we did have Sean on to talk about, the Nazca lines and some... Well, that would, I think, fall into the category.
I just need to stop. We're this long into the episode, and we haven't just, for this show, we haven't said, the government just almost admitted that aliens exist, everyone!
Yeah.
They buried that under COVID.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Yes, thanks to the Stars Academy and Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Which, that's something to talk about, too, because we've mentioned him a few times, because he is become a paragon of the paranormal community, going after extraterrestrials.
He's kind of doing the I Told You So tour right now, with all of the videos and the Pentagon saying it's real. I think right now he's sitting pretty, because, the Pentagon... admitted that his video that they released is real, so
yeah, it's a little bit of validation for him. Man, I have to mention that Although they are on the very positive end, and those are guys to watch who are doing it right. Hal Putoff is a member of his team, and is somebody who was working on the astral projection stuff at the Stanford Research Institute, which our pal James Randi called out hard and said was definitely something that they were perpetrating that was not something that was real. So Hal, I believe it was Hal Putoff who was part of that team. Yes. Might be somebody to take with an extra grain of salt when you're listening to the results from him and to the star stuff.
Yeah.
I would also mention, though, that this is a totally different topic. And so where he may be wrong, or he might have overt belief in something that can't be proven in one vein, he might also have greater expertise in this or have more tangible evidence for this. I mean, we're just talking about which of all of the topics that we've talked about do we believe in and which ones do we not. And certainly of all of the ones that we can make a list of that we believe in, there are some that have greater evidence than others, and some could be actually proven or disproven probably if people spent the amount of time and energy it would take and do it. And so, yes, grain of salt, but he's not trying necessarily to continue with his belief of astral projection and remote viewing in talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials.
That is true.
You can be right. You can be right in some things and wrong in the other.
Exactly.
And that's probably the whole point of our show, is to just make sure you examine each thing individually on its own merits. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we can say take it with a grain of salt, but still take it. You know, still see what he has to say. Still could be good. Make sure that it is, and don't just believe it just because it's his word. Any others that anybody really, really didn't believe? How about the psychic murderer? She definitely knew what she was doing.
Yeah, no psychic murderer.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, so we're gonna take a final break, and when we come back, we are gonna wrap up and talk a little bit more about what episodes we would like to be real. And what are some of the best movies related to the paranormal stuff we've been talking about? Because it's something we often talk about. So that's how we're going to wrap up. But for now, you're listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW.
KXRW is brought to you by the generous sponsors from our friends at New Bamsterdam. They are the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. You can visit at newbamsterdam.com for more information regarding their specials like CBD Sunday and Munchie Monday. New Bamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at newbamsterdam.com. That's newbamsterdam.com.
KXRW wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. They offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialized and customized Parkinson's treatments. Located downtown Vancouver, find out more at boomerangtherapyworks.com, where exercise is medicine.
All right, welcome back to Chasing Shadows. We are here on our part one of two on our farewell episode, and we are recapping some of our topics that we have talked about over the last couple years here with KXRW. And we've talked about some of the most believable and some of the least believable. But what's on a different note? What's some of the ones you guys want to be real? What's the paranormal topics you wish were
Yeti.
Real?
Yeti,
regardless of whether there's evidence or not.
I want Yeti to be real.
The Yeti, yeah, totally.
And Bigfoot, of course, Sasquatch.
All right,
but
give me a human superpower.
Yeah, okay, that's for cooler. Sure.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, time travel. I mean, because I just rewatched the entire Back to the Future series, so that would just be so much fun.
Which time travel would you pick? Which version of time travel? The Back to the Future, the style one?
I would prefer, actually, since I'm rewatching this too, the Doctor Who style of time traveling, where you can...
Okay.
Yeah. It's basically Back to the Future, where you can just pick where you want to go. Well, his, it seems a little more difficult, and he actually uses maybe some science and the galaxy and all that stuff to go where he goes, and I know a lot of it is just fiction, but... but there is some science behind some of the stuff, and I love that a lot.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's what makes it science fiction, right? Oh, there's a ton of stuff that, you know, stuff that you see that was science fiction 20 years ago is real, and I think that's why that's such a cool thing to explore.
Yeah, and I also, we were talking about like history too. I also want to believe that all these things happened in Doctor Who. Like, you know, Winston Churchill during World War II has to also deal with the Daleks coming, and somehow they're fighting this extra war behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
somehow that ends the real war, I guess. It's fun.
Okay, so Doctor Who time travel. Okay. And Bigfoot. Maybe both. Maybe you time travel with Bigfoot.
That would get messy, Josh.
Yeah, it would. Well, they've got the new Bill and Ted coming out as well.
Oh, that's right. That's going to be fun.
And that's kind of like the American Doctor Who, right?
Yes, if Doctor Who had to pass a test for class.
Okay, and so we had human superpowers. Which superpowers? Which version of superpowers? Are we talking X-Men? Are we talking Marvel? Well, I guess those are both the same thing. But are we talking? Those are the same thing. Not the movies, but yeah, that's
anything but DC.
I'll just say that like the all around type superhero, like Iron Man or like Superman. Give me that. I want either, you know, like you could put a suit on me and I got all the powers, or I just like am born with all the powers.
Okay.
I want them all.
All right. So you want to say you could be the superhero?
Oh, yeah. Nobody else gets to be the superhero.
Just me. You don't want Superman to exist. Well, unless you're a Superman.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Have you guys...
I know that contradicts everything we've talked about and how I've... talked about the superpowers I want. But.
Have you guys watched The Boys on Amazon Prime?
Not yet.
Please. It is a it is an awesome show, and it deals with, you know, what the main scope is. What if the superheroes saving our planet were actually the worst, most despicable people in the planet?
Yeah. Which could be pretty dark. Which could definitely be pretty dark. Yeah. I think along the same vein, they had The Misfits, which, oh man, I love The Misfits. That was a group of, in the UK, of juvenile delinquents who get superpowers in a storm, and how that plays out. That was a great show as well. Bree, what about you?
I think that a part of me wants a little bit of everything to be real.
Just all of it.
Yeah, just all of it. But I think specifically, like, if I had to pick one, I would say out-of-body experiences and remote viewing, because that is something that if those things existed, then the concept of us being tethered to our bodies is so much more of a gray area, and that could mean stuff spiritually, that could mean stuff like in our connection to the planet as a whole, as far as like if I can sit here and think of a place and be able to see it, not only would like energies like, or, you know, those kind of unseen, unknown energies exist, but just kind of the concept of the entire planet being singular and whole. And if remote viewing and out-of-body experiences were true, then that means that we're likely more tied to things outside of us than we originally thought. And there is so much potential in that. And obviously, like, remote viewing was used for a very specific purpose historically. But that could mean so much for communications technology, that could mean so much for spirituality, that could mean so much for protection of people, for even like healing. Like if you could have a doctor like sit in a room and think of where you are and be able to see you and like give you medical advice. Like I know it's just like a weird, but like in a world where those things did exist and we could tap into those energies or natural technologies or however you want to describe it, that just like could be the breakthrough of the world.
Think of COVID-19 telehealth with astral projection.
Yeah, you know? Or like being around each other. That's kind of a silly thing to say,
but like if it was really, what if you could do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when you mentioned that, and you know, I think of with COVID, like what if we could go all just hang out, you know, our celestial bodies just going and hanging out. That makes me kind of think of like Ready Player One, where it's like the person's just sitting at home and like they're going and essentially their consciousness is traveling into another world and doing that. I think that I would feel more comfortable with that concept if it were more natural and like tapping into a natural ability rather than using technology and relying so heavily on technology like that. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because the concept of channeling into natural energies versus cords and wires and Wi-Fi wavelengths. You know, I'm sounding a bit hippie-ish.
No, not at all. No, and I really think it's interesting, and I haven't thought of Ready Player One that way, right? Because we were just talking about sci-fi and kind of how it kind of explores, you know, new technologies and stuff, and that's kind of like sci-fi astral projection.
Yeah.
And it's kind of looking at technology that we have now, seeing what it could be like in a few years, and applying something that, you know, it's not presented that way in the game because it's more that way of like jumping into a MMO world, jumping into World of Warcraft or something like that. But, you know, and to what we were saying earlier, these things that are kind of real on the technicality side, you know, astral projection isn't real, but I can go and log on to the computer and, you know, move an electronic digital character in a world with a bunch of other people, and that's kind of like astral projection electronically, you know? And so we're not fully there on the technology to be something like, you know, Ready Player One or Westworld.
Or like that, still that Black Mirror episode that, you know, that we talked about, I believe, where the two friends play the games and you can actually feel the sensations.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, how close do we get to those things? And then, you know, just looking at how we should respond to those. And I think that's partly why science fiction and even things like horror movies, you know, are important and so impactful because people kind of decide what they believe based on those things and then apply it to stuff that happens in the real world.
Fantasy. Yeah, and I mean, I really view the whole, not necessarily the whole game sphere, but more of the concept of VR as the technological equivalent of that astral projection. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't have that natural ability that we know of, and so we're building this technological realm where that becomes possible. But what if, like, we just woke up one day and freaking realized that we could do it? Like, I mean, I was just reading an article earlier today talking about, like, a headset that you can wear that feels the impulses on your head. And I'll put a link to this. But that the guy who was testing it was wearing it, and the guy who was administering the test showed him, like, I believe it was a digital screen of ducks. And he's like, shoot one of them with your mind. So he thought there, and he stared at one, and he thought about it, and then it, like, was shot. And it's like, holy cow. And so if we were to be able to unlock that untapped potential just within us, think about how much money goes into that that could be spent towards other things, and we would still get that benefit. And I think that honestly it would make a lot of people more spiritual, not necessarily in any religious capacity, because I believe that you can be spiritual without being religious. But I think that connecting to a natural ability like that, like in the movie Onward, which is a cute little Pixar movie, It is basically...
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's basically...
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It's basically like a magical world that had technology developed, and the magical creatures lose their magical abilities because they're not using them. And...
More spoiler alerts here.
That's just a gentle little... I mean, it talks about that in like the first like
exactly
30 seconds of it. So that's basically the concept, is that they just... have relied on technology, so they don't use their magical abilities. And so they also became more distanced from their history and their cultures. And I think that, I mean, obviously that was based on our world and like social commentary on that, go Pixar. But if we were able to, in this day and age, untap something so primal and so like spiritual like that, I think it would just change the course of everything. So not only would we be able to change those, or the course of those resources, into something else that we no longer need for this technological purpose, but I think that it would likely spark more empathy in people. I mean, the way that we've seen it was in a more of a militarized way, so I guess I can't speak for everybody, but I think that if more people were able to unlock those things, that would be something that would have an impact on nearly every sector of everything, because the definition of what a human is would just change.
Let's tie that into kind of what's going on right now. I mean, if there was astral projection, you could see what's going on in someone else's brain, especially like right now with going on with Black Lives Matter. You know, I think that that could be a major change of seeing how someone feels in a situation where they're approached, where they're being met with force.
Yeah.
So, also with that, I speak for all of us, I am assuming, that we all support Black Lives Matter and want to give our support any way we can.
100%.
Yes, I agree 1,000%. And, you know, like you were saying, Robert, like, one of the biggest lines is, like, I understand that I'll never understand, but maybe if we get to the point where we can use that technology, then maybe we can go into someone else's head and we can experience what they experience. And maybe that can help understand.
I think an understanding is what we're kind of begging for right now, you know, and especially after all this time, hundreds of years of oppression. It would, as a colored person, it would be a beautiful step in our society to be able to be and feel heard, and make somebody also who hasn't been in that situation feel what we feel in that situation.
Empathy can be very, very powerful. And if we do not have any innate abilities to force people to empathize, if they're not able to do it themselves or feel it themselves, then maybe at least we can use our voice here to help create some empathy to our listeners and help them in shining a little bit of light on the darkness, and even in just you know, investing their belief and where it's important to do that. And so I would say, Robert, yes, you definitely speak for us in support of Black Lives Matter and that movement, and 100%. I think that is going to be it for our episode today, and I think that is a good place for us to end. And
love each other. Love each other, everyone, please.
Yes, absolutely.
I love, agree. Compassion, 100%. And understanding.
Exactly. 100%. It is the most important. I would like to thank you guys all for being here and for being co-hosts with me on this crazy adventure of a show that we have started and that we are now hoping to grow even more. So thank all of you guys.
Thank you for being the conductor of all this, because I don't think people understand how much time and effort that you put, specifically you, put into this show.
Yeah, this train doesn't start running unless I believe it's you, Josh, and Bree, too. You guys are the engine.
Well, thank you.
Shouts out.
Yes, and thank you to producer Bree for all the help.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I think she's probably the biggest part of the engine, Josh, and then you're number two, but it's all right.
I would like to give a personal thank you to her, both as a producer and my wonderful wife, for giving me support and things to work towards and grow towards in the show. And before we even got started, for your belief in doing this and working on it together. So thank you for that.
I'm definitely not blushing right now. Let the record show.
This is
going
to be on the radio, so you just gave yourself away. So, and I would like to also thank KXRW. We will have more personal thank yous for our final episode to all the people that we have worked with at KXRW and have grown to be very fond of and are very happy to be a part of the community of, and hope to help work with and promote in the future. So thank you to KXRW now, with more to come in the future. But with that, we will be signing out for part one of our farewell episodes. You've been listening to Kate. You've been listening to Jason Shadows. Oh no! You've been listening to Chasing Shadows on KXRW.
KXRW would like to thank our friends at New Vamsterdam for supporting our radio community. New Vamsterdam is the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. They carry a variety of cannabis products ranging from pre-rolls, vape cartridges, and edibles to CBD topicals, oils, and tinctures. New Vamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. 365 days a year. More information available at newvamsterdam.com. That's newvamsterdam.com.
Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number one.com.
KXRW is brought to you by the generous sponsors from our friends at New Vamsterdam. They are the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver area. You can visit at newvamsterdam.com for more information regarding their specials like CBD Sunday and Munchie Monday. New Vamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. 365 days a year. More information available at newvamsterdam.com. That's newvamsterdam.com.
KXRW wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. They offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialized and customized Parkinson's treatments. Located downtown Vancouver, find out more at boomerangtherapyworks.com, where exercise is medicine.